Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Garden Hill is a tiny hamlet north of Port Hope, nestled in a rural area and surrounded by farms and natural beauty. A developer is proposing to build 31 luxury estate homes and an apartment. Some neighbors are concerned with the plans. In this interview, you will meet two representatives from the Garden Hill Neighborhood Group. Both are qualified experts. Glenn Deeth and Kevin Killen will explain some of the group's concerns. Kevin will talk about the presentation he made to Northumberland County Council recently about the subdivision. Kevin will talk about his plans to try and save a historic dam at the Garden Hill Pond. Have a listen and see if you agree with them about the future of their neighborhood.
I'm so pleased to have with me today Glenn Deeth and Kevin Killen. Both are members of the Garden Hills Neighborhood Group. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Hi, how are you?
Lots is going on in Garden Hill, a small hamlet just north of Port Hope. And today we're going to talk about a development where a proposed 31 estate lot home development is looking to be built. And we're going to talk about the historic dam that controls a former mill pond in the area. But before we begin, I would like, Glenn, could you tell us about your professional background besides being a resident of Garden Hill?
Yeah, so I'm a civil engineering technician, certified with OSET. I worked for the municipality of Oshawa for 35 years in the engineering department. Everything from road design to development engineering review for subdivisions and site plans, such as multi-use residential buildings and everything right up to your Costco's. I've also been involved with, on the field side, looking after inspection of road and municipal infrastructure, as well as into project management toward the later part of my career.
Kevin, would you be so kind as to do the same for us?
Sure. I'm a professional geoscientist. I'm registered in the province of Ontario, transferable to the rest of Canada and the U.S. So I've been working in geophysics and geoscience for the last 37 years. Currently, I'm still working with geophysics to study hydrology and subsurface aquifers for projects in the United States and Canada. So we've got there's a lot of different things that have been discovered in the recent history that are applicable to everything that's going on in Garden Hill.
So I want to begin with you, Glenn. You made a presentation to Northumberland County Council recently to inform them of a development at 3852 Ganaraska Road. There are a number of concerns you raised. So how about we walk through those concerns? The first one was water. What is the concern with the water supply?
Well, there's never been a full study of the aquifer in the area to determine how much water is there and what impacts this type of development may have. So we have a concern right from that onset. The development is proposing 31 estate homes, but it's also proposing a multi-unit residential building right adjacent to my property and the church behind me. So it's just on the west side of the old church that is in town. And it's proposing as many as 21 units. There's never been a final number on how many units they want to build in that building, but that's going to have a substantial draw for water in one particular spot.
So what is it your group is asking for as a follow-up to this then?
Well, we've asked for a number of things, and we have a number of concerns with the conditions of draft plan approval that were approved by the Ontario Land Tribunal. One of the things was that we wanted that water study completed. The municipality has agreed to do a water study, hydrology study, but that won't come until over the next couple of years. So it's not in place prior to development. And the other concern with the multi-unit residential building is that the zoning bylaw states that it can only be built if it has municipal water and sewer services. And those are unavailable in Garden Hill.
You also raised concerns about the developer's contingency plan. Could you explain what that is about?
There's been no solid contingency plan for water. The original statement was that they would provide $50,000 to $60,000, coverage to the municipality if something happened with a dug well in the area, and that they would look to replace that, and they offered bottled water. Well, bottled water doesn't go very far when you need to shower, run dishes, or do your laundry, or any of those things, right? So it's in our viewpoint, it was not substantial enough to protect any existing residents if they had well problems.
You mentioned in your presentation to Northumberland County Council that this is an area of natural and scientific interest. Could you explain what that means and why is it relevant to this development?
The area of natural and scientific interest, or we refer to in short form as an ANSI, is a large area in this Garden Hill area. It takes up much more land than just the development site. It's with regard to the formation, and Kevin could probably speak to this better than I can later. It's not my real expertise, but it's basically similar to the Oak Ridges Moraine and the way the land was formed during the Ice Age, and the layers and deposits of material that are in the ground, and how all of that was done is an area of interest for scientific study, so it is supposed to be protected from development. And there was actually an old report that was done years ago that recommended that this land be set aside as conservation area.
There were a number of planning and engineering items raised in your presentation. Could you go over these, please?
In my presentation, I focused mainly on the access to the apartment site. So they're proposing to use Frost Avenue to access the development site, and they wanted to extend that road and build a cul-de-sac on the developer's site to provide turnaround area on the road for snowplows, refuse trucks, emergency vehicles, and so forth. There are a number of inherent problems that that creates coming off a small local road. So my request or point of the presentation to the county was to go back and look at the opportunity to build the access from the county road, or have the access come in off the road, the new road that the developer will be constructing off of Kanawaska Road.
Why did you choose to make a presentation to Northumberland County Council? And what did you hope to achieve by talking to them?
Well, I had had some discussions with the municipality and with the director of engineering at the county, regarding the original denial from the county for access to that site from the county road. They have concerns with traffic volumes, sight lines, things like that coming out, the proximity of the entrance to a multi-unit residential site to the new road that will be constructed into the site, which will also have additional traffic volumes coming out. So the county originally and still to this date have not permitted access from that property to the county road. But I wanted to bring awareness of the negative impacts that constructing that access from Frost Avenue will bring to the existing neighborhood, to the development site, and hope that they would be in consideration of changing their viewpoints when they understand what the negative impacts of using Frost Avenue are.
What did you think of the response that you got from council?
I was quite surprised that the response from council, they didn't seem to even be aware of the development. It's the questions that I got afterwards and so forth, it didn't seem to me that they were even aware of the development or where it was or what was happening.
Thank you very much. I'd like to bring Kevin into the conversation now and give him an opportunity to go over his recent presentation to Port Hope Council. You talked to them about a dam that's in need of repair. So let's start with your concerns around this dam.
Sure. This the Mill Pond in Garden Hill has been around for since the mid 1950s. Now the original dam was built and has been burned down all the way in numerous different generations, I guess. It's been burnt down and rebuilt and burnt down and rebuilt. So this environment has been built over almost a century with the wildlife, water, the headwaters of the Ganarasca River. It's all been in the same way for the last almost a century in various shapes and forms. So when we found out that they wanted to repair the dam, in that, well, actually, it was 2023. They drew down the pond almost 3 meters, checked the dam, and decided that it needed some significant repair, moving forward. So we thought, okay, that's great. They're going to repair the dam. That's great for everybody. And then we found out late last year that there was a possibility that the decommissioning of that dam would be done, where the whole pond would be drained, and the environment, there's nobody has said anything about what will be done in that area. So we approached the council in, I guess, at the end of last year, and we were talking to them about the impacts in Garden Hill. As we've been talking to them about the impacts of the subdivision, and they had decided that they needed to do some more study on this. What ended up happening was the conversation went from repairing the dam to opening up the possibility of decommissioning it. The original argument that the GRCA, the Ganarasca group put through, said that in the first year the dam would be assessed and a geotechnical study would be done on the dam, along with the culvert that the county needs to fix at the same time. And then in the second year, the repairs and everything would be done. Now, this geotechnical study is the same as doing an environmental assessment for the repair of a structure. The municipality went ahead and decided to do a Class C environmental assessment, which opens up the possibility of decommissioning the dam. So our argument is why spend the $150,000 to do a Class C environmental study to open up the possibility of environmental destruction by removing the dam when a simple geotechnical study could have been done and the dam be repaired without going through all of the extra money, time. This dam is actually high risk at the moment to the people downstream. The dam could break. And so every year that it takes to do these extra assessments is a danger to the people downstream as well. So we've been arguing that the repair was what should be done. There's no need to change the environment. However, the county has gone through and seemed kind of shocked that the group wouldn't want an environmental study done of the dam. And how can we be against having this Class C environmental study for the pond, but want a Class C study for the subdivision? And the reason is that one is a repair to keep a certain environment that has been in place for all of this time, and the other is to make a significant alteration and possibly damage an environment, and that needs to be have a Class C environmental study done.
Can we talk a little bit about the pond itself? The mill pond provides some safety features. What are those?
That's a very good point. The safety features that are there is a dry fire hydrant that sits on Mill Street, which is used by the fire department regularly in the rural area to fill their pumper trucks. This dry fire hydrant, if they were to remove the dam, would no longer have any water, and the fire department would have to find another water source. That was brought up in the actual meeting to council, and the fire superintendent acknowledged that it would be a big problem, as there are no readily available sources, and that the municipality would have to pay or buy access to a new water source that's on private land.
Can you describe the ecosystem at the pond?
I'm sorry?
Can you describe the ecosystem at the pond?
Sure. Right now, this pond is used as a migration route for Canada geese, swans, multiple species of birds. We see those go through here every year at the same times. There's also different types of turtles that are in the pond itself. There are fish in the pond. It's its own ecosystem that has developed over a number of years. The pond or the turtles actually commute over my neighbors and my land to get to a pond that would be in the subdivision as well. So if you destroy the pond going to the subdivision and you destroy this pond, the mill pond, you're actually taking away their habitat as well. And then there's also the conservation area that's on the west side of the pond for people to come and enjoy the wildlife.
Glenn mentioned earlier, and we talked briefly about this being a area of natural and scientific interest. Can you elaborate a bit upon the broader context in terms of environment?
Sure. This area was part of the, it was heavily glaciated. And when the glaciers retreated, they were retreating in different directions. This is a very unique area where the lobes of glaciers came together, and they were depositing very sandy and gravel type soils, which have a very high permeability, meaning that the water can flow very fast through these soils. There's also a problem with this. It's called a pitted outwash, where there are small ponds on top of the or at the very shallow layers of the soils. And this will actually stop in irregular parts this water flow that is currently in this environment. So it's a very complicated thing where you have a layer of very, very fast flowing sands and gravels, and in between it, you have these blockages of what we call a pitted outwash, which makes it very, very difficult to understand the water flow in the area. So that's what the ANSI is being studied. Now, they when it came to removing the ANSI, the developers' argument was that the ANSI had been destroyed or significantly altered by agriculture. Well, the ANSI is all about the subsurface. It's about the 20, 30, 40 meters below the surface, and not about the 6 inches or a foot, even if we want to push it, that got planted with potatoes and beans. Or so the tilling of that area has definitely not affected the actual function of this pitted outwash, and that is something that was never addressed.
You mentioned in your presentation the cost of decommissioning and the cost of repair and the cost of the environmental assessment. Could you share some of those numbers with us?
Well, the numbers changed. Initially, in at late last year, it was estimated that the Port Hope municipality would have to pay $50,000, which was half in the first year to do this study and to think about repairing the dam. And then it was supposed to be about $200,000 the next year. So the cost there in total between the GRCA, the Ganarawaska Region Conservation Association, that would have been a total of about $500,000 to repair the dam. Now the sum has gone up because this environmental study that they're doing is going to be about $150,000 on top of the repairs or decommissioning, which has also escalated in price. So we're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of probably $600,000 to $700,000.
You put forward a 2-year plan. Could you describe for us that plan and what its details are?
The 2-year plan was actually laid out by the GRCA initially. And what they had suggested was that the geotechnical study and the study of the actual culvert that needs to be replaced on Highway 9 would happen in 2026. All of the studies that were needed would then be worked into a plan for 2027. And in 2027, the pond would be drained, everything would be put back together. That would have been the 2-year plan in order to do this repair to this ecosystem. Now the plan has changed because in order for them to do this EA, the environmental assessment, that is going to add at least one more year onto their plan. So the dam needs to stay functional for an extra year. And now also the decommissioning aspect comes up, where somebody can now say they want to decommission it, and council has to bring that into their consideration.
How did council respond to your presentation?
I think part of the problem was, as I had said earlier, I think they were a little bit surprised at the stance. Because we want a Class EA for the subdivision, so we wanted a Schedule C, which is very expensive and very, very in depth for this subdivision. But when it came to the dam, we were saying, fix it, don't do anything, you don't need to do this. But in fact, they are doing a geotechnical study, and that is a Class A. And it is actually an environmental assessment. The rules had changed in Ontario, I believe it was 2024, so that repairing infrastructure no longer required extremely detailed studies. As long as it was safe and the geotechnical studies were done, then things could move forward.
Glenn, I'd like to bring you back into the conversation, please.
Certainly.
Glenn, tell us about the Garden Hill Neighborhood Group. When was it formed and why?
It was formed back in 2022 when the original site plan and draft plan for the subdivision came forward to council and to the city to look at. We sort of, as neighbors, all had similar concerns, and we thought it would be best if we could sort of sit down with each other and go through what our concerns were and try to approach the municipality as a group as opposed to as individuals.
How many members belong to the neighborhood group?
There's about six or seven of us that meet on a regular basis and discuss, but we also have 100 plus emails of local residents that we keep informed of the progress as things have been going along and advise them as to where we are in the process. And they've certainly had some input as well with responding back to us with concerns and that we try to bring forward so everyone's voice is heard.
And if you were to describe the current status of the development, what would it be?
The current status is that the Ontario Land Tribunal has given direction to the municipality and the developer to provide conditions that would be required to be met in order to get draft plan approval. They were able to do that once the Ministry of Transportation removed the ANSI designation from the site because that was what was taken forward to the OLT by the parties. We disagreed with that because the Ministry have only heard evidence from the developer's consultant. They didn't take into account anyone else. They didn't put forward any notice to the existing residents of the area. They didn't approach the native groups in the area to determine what their viewpoints were on removing the ANSI designation. They just talked to the developer and moved forward with removing that. So, right now, I think the ball sits with the developer to do any further studies or requirements to meet the conditions of draft plan approval. Once they've satisfied the municipality that they have accomplished that, then they can move forward to detailed design.
What's next then for the neighborhood group?
We are continuing to advocate our position on the concerns we have with water access, all of these things. We keep bringing them forward and we're trying to, I guess not, we're not, we recognize that we're not able to stop the development from occurring, but trying to make sure that the municipality is making the best decisions and protecting the residents from harm.
Kevin, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I think Glenn has covered it. I think we're just trying to emphasize to the municipality the safety aspects of this development to the neighborhoods, including other subdivisions that have been here for years as well, like LaRose and Woodlands. All of these people will be affected by 31. Stayed home subdivision put right in the middle of our aquifer. So we're trying to stress that point, and I guess we're still trying to, if nothing else, to not have the multi-unit residential building go forward, and hopefully we can make a more reasonable size subdivision go into that area. It would A reasonable size to me would be zero, but we will have to see how that works out in the future.
Glendies, Kevin Killen, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you. You're welcome.
That was Glendies and Kevin Killen, members of the Garden Hills Neighborhood Group. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.